The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Happy Friday, everybody. It's almost the weekend. It's almost August. It's almost time for position previews, as we'll be beginning those late next week. But today's show is all about you. We're answering your questions at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That is the letter I. If you want to email us, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Also, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We're reading some of those Apple Podcast reviews. And if you're watching on YouTube, you know we're going to be reading your YouTube questions as well. Those will be later on in the show. I'm Adam Azer, and I've got Jamie Eisenberg here. Hello, Jamie. DK Metcalf signed a 3-year contract extension. Would you rather have the 6'4", 235-pound chisel DK Metcalf or the 5'11", 173-pound noodle Darnell Mooney?
Darnell Mooney.
But he's a noodle compared to DK Metcalf.
That's fine. That noodle will get more targets and might have a better quarterback. Should have a better quarterback.
Hello, Dave Richard. Dave is here as well. Dave, Ric Flair addressed the Titans in camp. Which pro wrestler would you like to have you, give you an inspirational speech, I guess, is the best question there. Who do you want to fire you up?
I would like to hear from George the Animal Steel, because that sounds like a short speech, and I can get on with it.
Come on. Right,
Kamala the Ugandan Headhunter.
What about Jake the Snake? Your boy's with him.
I've already had the speech from Jake.
All right. So
didn't work.
Let me ask you guys, we're going to do today on today's show, we're going to do some... fill in the blank. This year's Cooper Kupp is blank. This year's Leonard Fournette is blank. That kind of stuff. But before we get to that, what was the most interesting news item that you saw yesterday as it relates to fantasy? Jamie, what comes to mind? Most interesting news item?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
It seems like it's all bleeding together. What
sure,
it is.
Recently. It is. Recently.
But I've got two.
Okay, go ahead, Dave.
You start. You want me to go with?
Yeah.
Kind of buried inside a story about how fast and elusive Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle have looked in Dolphins camp is how they're being used, and lots of misdirection in the offense, lots of play action in the offense. And Tyreek said something about like being able to run free across the middle of the field, and both of them were picking up chunks of yardage after the catch. Granted, it was, you know, team practice. It wasn't with hitting. So I wonder if that's just the plan's going to be just target these guys short, hope they make plays after the catch. Should lead to some pretty big weeks for both of them. So I'm excited by that. And I was excited to read about Romeo Dubs stepping up in Green Bay and having a really good day in practice. We know that there are a lot of jobs open in that passing game. We know that Christian Watson's hurt right now. He's not practicing. Sammy Watkins is hurt right now. He's not practicing. I loved watching Romeo Dubs when he was playing at Nevada, and now he's got a chance to grab himself a spot in that offense. It's a name I'm keeping an eye on.
And I'll give you credit, because you talked about him the second he was drafted, basically. You've been all about, even before that, but you loved the draft pick of Romeo Dubs in the fourth round.
Yeah, I like the player. Yeah. And then you put him with a great quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. You hope that it can come together. I mean, it's just one day. Training camp just opened. I'm trying not to get too excited about anybody, but I've already moved Michael Thomas up in my rankings quite a bit. So I guess I'm breaking my own rule a little bit about
getting excited over players. Well, that's a healthy thing.
Right.
That's because I think so.
Yeah, he's out there.
I hope so, but
It's not an exciting thing. It's a negative thing, and it's Ryan Jensen's injury. It's, You know, we know Brady hates, most quarterbacks hate pressure up the middle, but, you know, Brady, since his ACL tear, has certainly made that known. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, some of the free agent centers who are out there, and maybe even bringing back Ali Marpet, who played some center for them before. But now you're talking really about three interior linemen that are missing for the Bucs from a year ago, which was such a huge strength for them. And it's making me a little bit nervous, not so much about the passing game, because I think Brady will still be fine, but a little bit about Fournette, just a smidge that I might drop him. And this is going to make me a little bit cringeworthy to say it, but this is a guy that has looked good in camp so far. You know, speaking of early camp, I'm going to put him behind Saquon Barkley.
I admit I'm starting to drink the Barkley Kool-Aid.
I'm starting to drink the Giants Kool-Aid.
We all are.
No, don't do that.
Tony Kool-Aid.
Tony and Wandale Robinson, with everything that you're just hearing and seeing, it's just been from many people, not just Giants beat writers, but people who have visited camp. It's impressive so far.
Yeah, I mean, you could drink the Giants Kool-Aid and only be in on two players, I think, and that's Barkley and Tony. Right? I mean, Galladay's a question.
Robinson's free. Wandale's free.
Right, but how is he going to make an impact? How's it going to make a fantasy impact?
It's worth a flyer, you know, depending on how deep your draft is.
Would you take him over Kenny Galladay?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, so those are some news items. As far as Ryan Jensen goes, that Tampa Bay center, knee injury, we don't know the severity yet, but, you know, seemed like a bad
one. It sounds like it's a season ender.
But
he had the lowest grade among pass blockers in Tampa Bay among their starting five last year.
He had the lowest grade?
Lowest grade.
But I think probably still not bad, right?
No, it's pretty bad.
Was it?
Yeah.
All right, that's interesting.
But he was good in the run game, like Jamie talked about. How about this? Ali Marpet was number one. He retired. Jensen was number two. He's out for the year. And then where's Alex Kappa on the list? Kappa might have been fourth or fifth. And he's no longer on the team. The entire interior of that line is now going to be different in 2022.
So, Fournette, does he still make it as a round two pick?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Yeah.
And the good news with Fournette, based on last year, was he didn't really do much. It wasn't his rushing. He only had 180 carries. He did have 8 rushing touchdowns. But it was his pass catching that was so huge for his value. Okay, so let's do some fill in the blank. This year's Cooper Kupp is blank. And I'm thinking mid-round wide receiver who becomes, let's say, top five. You know, this year's Cooper Kupp or the 2020 Stephon Diggs, kind of that model is blank this year.
I will say Michael Thomas. Go right back to it. I'm excited about him. I'm looking for wide receivers that I can push up into the top 15 and maybe even top 12 of my rankings. And Thomas isn't there yet because I'm still a little worried about him sharing targets with Chris Olave and with Jarvis Landry. But we've seen it from him before. We know that when he gets a high volume of targets, he comes through with some really good numbers. He definitely has potential to get, I don't know if he's got potential to get like 15 touchdowns, but 10? I think we could see him get close to that from Jameis Winston this year. If he's really back to normal, if he looks as good as all these videos say, or look like he is, whatever. I think he's got a chance to really be one of those guys that you'll draft in round four, and he'll give you round one or round two value.
Okay, Michael Thomas for Dave. Jamie, who's this year's Cooper Kupp? Of course, the disclaimer is there probably won't be someone quite that good, but you get the point. Go ahead.
I'll go Courtland Sutton. You know, new quarterback. Obviously, we've seen, you know, a quality season from him already with a, you know, worst quarterback situation by far, his second year in the league. Then he tore his ACL in year three. And, you know, he's the big play threat for Russell Wilson, for a quarterback that we know likes to make a lot of big plays down the field. So while Judy's had some struggles early in camp and Tim Patrick is going to kind of play a little bit of a swing role, Sutton, I think, is locked in as the number one guy, number one option for Russell. And, you know, huge ceiling if things go right. A lot of touchdown potential and certainly a chance for, you know, north of 1,200 yards.
Yeah, I like that call. There have been conflicting reports on Judy. There have been some I've read where he doesn't look good and some where they say he looks fine. I've read almost nothing on Tim Patrick and everything about Courtland Sutton.
Yeah, first day was bad for Judy.
Yeah, okay. Here's an interesting one from the chat from Broward Bravado. Terry McLaurin.
I want to say McLaurin too. So bad.
Yeah.
I want to, but right. I feel like he's capped at a wide receiver too. I wish he had an even better quarterback than Carson Wentz.
Okay. Let's go to our next one. This year's Leonard Fournette is blank. So I'm thinking mid to late round running back, someone who wins the job and become, you know, in a committee right now, wins the job, becomes a must start running back. This year's Leonard Fournette is blank.
The one for me is more injury related, but I'm going to draft a lot of Ramondre Stevenson. I mean, you know, again, another situation where I don't think he wins the job. You know this, Adam, and it's kind of been the case in preseason so far, or practice so far. The last seven games, how they were 50-50 in terms of their touches and snaps. I think Stevenson's going to be, you know, Pierre Strong right now is missing practice. James White is out. So Stevenson is going to be their passing downs guy if things work out right for him. And just by all accounts, he's had an amazing offseason. So this is going to be one of the most drafted guys in a lot of my fantasy teams. I'm really excited about Ramondre. He, you know, you asked this question a few weeks ago, or, you know, maybe months ago. Are there any Patriots worth drafting? Ramondre Stevenson is my favorite by far.
Okay. Dave, who's this year's Leonard Fournette?
Stevenson just makes me a little nervous because even if something were to happen to Damian Harris, I'm not convinced that Stevenson would be the only guy in that backfield because of just the way the Patriots offense rolls. They like to use multiple running backs. I love the talent. I like that he shed some weight. It's possible that he could be like Damian Harris gets hurt. Ramondre is the lead guy. He's a startable fantasy running back. Could he be like a top 10 one? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I don't like this question. I don't know if I've got a really good answer for it. I'm going to say Ken Walker because we know about Rashad Penny, and right now he looks great and everybody's excited about him. And yes, I've moved Penny ahead of Walker in my rankings, but I also think that Penny is very, very injury prone. It's, you look at the history and he gets banged up pretty easily. All you have to do with Kenneth Walker is draft him, wait for him to get banged up, and then Walker is going to be the feature back for Seattle. And I also expect Seattle to improve their passing game. I'm waiting for Jimmy Garoppolo to find his way there. It might not happen until late August, but when it does, it'll be better than Geno Smith. It'll be better than Drew Lock. That passing game will make the receivers a little bit more appealing. It'll force defenses to think twice about slamming against the run. And I think Walker's a really good talent. Definitely a player whose ADP continues to slide. I talked about it with Chris Towers on FFT and 5. If you're getting him past 100th overall, I think you just draft him and you commit to having him on your bench for at least half the season, and eventually he will pop for you.
Question follow-up here, right? And the thing about Fournette that made him so valuable was that he became an every-down back. We just did not see that coming when they had Javon Bernard. Is there anyone... I'm looking at the Chiefs. I'm looking at the Seahawks. I'm looking at the Patriots. Maybe Miles Sanders. Is there any?
That was the one I was thinking, but I thought it was a little too obvious.
Which one? Gamewell?
Sanders.
Oh.
Is there anyone that could become an every down back? You know, because maybe.
Well, that's why I picked Walker.
Yeah.
Is because that's a team that is still willing to lean heavily on one running back.
They're talking about Travis Homer again as their third down back, though, which is funny.
When is that?
That's
ever?
Okay. I'm not drafting Walker. I might draft Penny for his passing down skills, his receiving chops, but not Walker, not as a rookie.
All right.
I guess you can maybe say in this category, just the offenses are not going to be great is, you know, Tyler Allgeier or Damian Pierce. You know, they have not sure. Leonard Fournette's ceiling by far, but, you know, they can easily win their backfield jobs, especially if Patterson's more of a receiver. And volume will certainly help as opposed to talent.
Yep. And Allgeier would almost certainly be after pick 100 on draft day.
All right, last one or two here. This year's Deontay Johnson is blank. And what I'm getting at here is Deontay Johnson was a top 12 wide receiver, but he was third in targets. He was fifth in catches. So a high volume guy, maybe a sort of a PPR specialist. This year's Deontay Johnson is blank.
When was Deontay drafted last year? Four?
I'll look right now.
This could be a candidate for Mooney. Jamie.
Yeah, the three that came to mind for me, that's why I'm curious about ADP because I don't want to be, you know, too obvious, but would be Pittman, DJ Moore, and Mooney because of just the target shares that they're gonna get.
For us,
yeah,
I think
gonna get it.
Pittman and Moore are ahead of that group. Hold on.
You're looking for someone drafted even later than like top 50.
Well, let me tell you where Deontay Johnson was drafted in. Oh, I went to 2020. That's not going to work.
No, he was drafted much later in 2020.
Yeah, in 2021. Anybody want to guess?
I'm going to say round five.
Almost 45th overall, late round four.
Okay. Well, I think Pittman and Moore are going to go ahead of that.
Yeah.
So Mooney makes sense there. If you want to wait a little bit, I think Treylon Burks, who's already got the clean bill of health in training camp, could be a massive target hog for Tennessee.
And then the Hall of Famer, Alan Lazard.
The Hall of Famer. He said that because Devontae Adams said that he's going from a Hall of Fame quarterback to a Hall of Fame quarterback. Sure, sure.
Yeah, one thing, though, is I had a feeling you guys were going to say Darnell Mooney. Pittsburgh threw the ball as much as just about anyone. I don't know. Yep, they may have
63% of the time last year.
And they may have led the league in pass attempts. I don't remember. I think it was the Bucs, but Pittsburgh was up there. Andy Dalton for the Bears, he had five games where he started and he finished. 40 pass attempts. 40 pass attempts per game. Nick Foles had one start, 35 pass attempts. Justin Fields averaged 27 pass attempts per game in the nine games he started and finished. Now,
he
if
also
you,
was babied and handcuffed.
So let's take away the first three games where he threw 17 to 20 passes in all three games. Goes up to 31.2 pass attempts per game, which is still way down from Dalton, which was 40 pass attempts per game. The last two starts were very encouraging for Justin Fields. He threw 33 and 39 times. They actually threw the ball a lot when Fields wasn't under center, but I guess I just wonder if there's going to be enough volume in... Like Mooney had a 25% target share last year, so he might need even more than that to get up to 140 targets because the pass attempts might come down if Fields is the quarterback all year.
Sure. His target share with Fields was 25%, and that's great. But on the season, it was 28.5%. He got way more volume from Dalton and Foles.
It was 28.5%?
That's what I've got.
Oh, I have it at 25.
Oh, that's his target share with Fields off the field.
Oh, okay. For the season, it was 25.8%. And I guess with Fields, it was 25%. Yeah, 25% is great.
He was still targeted on like one out of every five routes, 20%. Target per route run rate. That's pretty good.
Who's a target hog? Who's a target hog in a high volume offense? Is there one high passing volume offense in the mid rounds? I don't know if there is one.
Well, I mean, Juju?
Is he?
Man, you want to talk about camp riser.
Yeah, he's made a couple of highlight reel catches.
High volume offense.
Pass offense.
Yeah, high volume pass offense, sorry.
How many games are we projecting for Julio Jones?
18.
Then he would qualify.
All right, well, we'll think about it. Let's go to our last one real quick here. This year's Elijah Mitchell is blank. Waiver wire running back who becomes a must start. This year's Elijah Mitchell.
See, this is where Algier could have. Well, Algier's going to get drafted, though. So you're looking for somebody.
Based on what's happened so far already, and I don't know how much will get drafted in 14, 15-round drafts, but Brian Robinson.
Yeah, he's moving up.
Okay, Brian Robinson.
It could be like a Zamir White, if he gets healthy by the time the season starts and something happens to Josh Jacobs. Obviously, depending on where Tyrion Davis-Price gets drafted or not.
Isaiah Spiller.
He didn't get drafted.
The problem is that with all these picks,
he'll be 40%.
What happened to Elijah Mitchell was the starter got hurt in front of him.
Yeah, but even if the starter gets hurt in Tampa Bay or in
but he was
Las
the third
Vegas,
string guy,
he was. We thought he was the third string guy, Elijah Mitchell.
No,
right?
He was the third string guy until they made Trey Sermon inactive. All the reports were the backup is both those guys.
Anyway, yeah, I just which handcuff could step in and
I'll give you a name.
Oh, the irony of it all. Raheem Mostert.
Could be him. Mm-hmm. Could be D'Ernest Johnson who gets traded.
Right.
Mike Davis?
That's a good one. Could be.
The same team, different back, Tyler Beatty.
All right, listen, we have a handcuff question later on in the show, so we'll get to it then. This is the last show I'm going to remind you on here because this is our last one before August. Please go right now to podcastawards.com and you can see the link to sign up to vote or nominate. And we're in three categories, best sports podcast, best male hosted podcast, and people's choice. Please vote for fantasy football today and all three of those at podcastawards.com. And again, it ends at the end of July, so you won't have to hear me badger you about it anymore. And join our Facebook group. So I've got a link in the episode description. I believe it's just facebook.com/groups/fantasyfootballtoday, but you can just go to Facebook and type in fantasy football today and you'll see us. Join our group. Great, great chats and topics of conversation and interaction with other FFT listeners and big time fantasy football players in our Facebook group. Let's do some.
I got two big announcements.
Yeah, okay.
Our Fantasy Football Today show starts on CBS Sports HQ Monday, noon Eastern. For eternity. But we will be on Monday through Friday until the end of the regular season, as we always are, getting you set for all of your fantasy football goodness. And then once the season starts, we're on Sunday morning starting at 10 a.m. Eastern. I am going to be running a competing league against Adam Azer. We're going to do a Fantasy Football Today CBS Sports HQ viewer league. And I'm not going to cap it at 12. We're going to have a big, monstrous, fun fantasy league. So you have to watch CBS Sports HQ starting at noon Eastern on Monday. And I'm going to give out a code word. I don't know how many days I'm going to do it, but you have to have all of the words to get into the league. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. All right. Of course, the podcast league is 14 teams. So, you know, just saying. We don't cap it at 12 either, but
it's all right. We'll both be playing in all of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's something certainly to look forward to. And
all three of us, excuse me, and Heath.
Yeah. You know what? Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do our news and notes. Then we'll get right into your emails, your Apple Podcast questions, and your YouTube comments right after this on Fantasy Football Today.
What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Quarterback news. They took out that silly independent study clause from Kyler Murray's contract.
Now he gets to play video games.
Probably shouldn't
have
put it
in
there.
It's one of the stupidest, best stories I've ever heard covering this league.
It's pretty hilarious.
It's pretty insulting.
Well, it's either insulting or it's necessary. I want to know what's behind it. You know, why would you put it in if he didn't?
Exactly.
Either they're idiots or he doesn't study enough. And I don't know what the answer is. But
it's they're not
idiotic.
Putting it in if he's a film nerd. And he admitted to not being a film nerd.
All right. Maybe it's somewhere in the middle. Who knows? Okay.
I don't think it's in the middle.
Lamar Jackson has bulked up and he threw
Murray in the middle.
Murray in the middle. There you go. Well, he threw
I noticed that about Lamar.
Yes, he bulked up and he threw with better velocity and tighter spirals, mm-hmm. according to ESPN's Jameson Hensley.
Yeah, it's easy to get excited about him.
And
you take him over Patrick Mahomes. Sounds a little blasphemous right now, doesn't it?
Well, I think in a 4-point league, it doesn't.
Sure,
Would you do that in a 4-point league?
I think I would.
All right. Running back news: J.K. Dobbins wants to practice. He's itching to get out there, but the coaches won't let him.
Doctors.
And coaches? No, just doctors. All right.
I believe the doctors are the ones that are holding him up now.
Kenyon Drake is expected to have a significant role in the Las Vegas backfield, according to The Athletic. And rookie running back Zamir White is expected to return to practice within the next week. So if you have Josh Jacobs, or even if you don't, if you want the backup there, would you take Drake or Zamir White?
I think if you're taking a long-term approach, you take White. If you're taking, who gets probably the first opportunity should something happen to Jacobs, it's probably Drake. You know, the early reports following the NFL draft where they were going to almost redshirt Zamir White. You know, so we'll see how much they need to play him and want to play him. I'm going to guess they play him. But sounds like Drake is probably going to have a role in tandem with Jacobs like they intended to last year before he got hurt.
Would they not play him if Jacobs stays healthy? And Zamir White break glass in case of emergency running back
could
for
be
them?
The case.
Right. He'd probably be inactive every week until they need him.
Wide receiver news. DK Metcalf got that extension, $72 million over 3 years, $58.2 million guaranteed. I guess he will not be buying a lottery ticket tonight. You guys in on that? $1.2 billion?
Probably should be.
Yeah, I think I'm going to get a lottery. I never buy a lottery ticket. I think I'm going to.
I know somebody who's very happy about DK's contract. Debo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys win, you know, a few hundred million dollars after taxes in the lottery, how much would you give to all of your FFT showmates?
A few hundred million?
Let's say you win $1.2 billion. After taxes, you win. I'll just cut it in half. You win $600 million.
How much? I don't know if you'll see me again.
How much am I getting before you leave town?
$600 million?
I'll give you guys at least $100K.
I give 10 grand to each of your kids.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to the kids. It's not going to you.
What if I promise to give it to the kids?
It's not going to you.
All right. More wide receiver news. Michael Gallup not expected to be ready for week one. That's kind of big news. And he has to miss four games if he stays on the PUP list. So Michael Gallup, again, not expected to be ready for week one. So when does Jalen Tolbert enter the discussion here? How does he rank among the other rookie wide receivers, Dave, Richard?
He's going to be toward the end of that list, but still somebody who's draftable. I'm thinking around 12 plus, and he's the perfect type of receiver to draft late because he might be usable at the beginning of the year. And if he stinks, you cut him and you don't even think twice about it.
Okay.
Short term, you know, he's like a hookup just for the early part of the year. And then you're probably never going to need him or see him again.
So would you rather have Jahan Dotson or
Jalen Tolbert? Dotson ranked higher. I think Dotson will be better over the course of the season than Tolbert.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you're drafting right now, Romeo Dubs or Jalen Tolbert?
Tolbert.
Okay. Jets wide receiver Corey Davis has lost 10 to 15 pounds, and he feels faster. Cleveland wide receiver Anthony Schwartz had a left knee, a knee injury, but it was a non-contact injury, and that's not good. So hoping for the best for Anthony Schwartz. Jacob Harris is a player on the Rams who played tight end last year. Now he's converting to wide receiver. Is there any, I think he tore his ACL too, right, last year? So is there any dynasty value in Jacob Harris?
No.
Okay.
Not as much as it would have been if he had stayed at tight end, because the whole idea with him is receiver playing tight end. Right. He was like the super low rent version of Kyle Pitts. And now they're going to move him to wide receiver. Well, there goes the tight end opportunity out the window.
And some defensive news. Seattle safety Jamal Adams is going to miss some time with a hand injury. Washington defensive end Chase Young is unlikely to be ready for the start of the season. He tore his ACL in week 10. That was before Chris Godwin tore his ACL. Everyone recovers differently. Jets, they signed linebacker Quan Alexander. Now, Quan Alexander tore his Achilles in December of 2020. And then he made it back for week one of 2021. So it's hard to predict these things. He played 12 games last year. He played in week one. He missed weeks 2 to 5 or something. Kansas City signed defensive end Carlos Dunlap. And that's the end of that chapter. Here we go to the emails. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Got a couple of Christian McCaffrey questions. This one comes from BK. He wants to know if you guys like Christian McCaffrey. I've had him each of the last two seasons. On the one hand, there's the third time's the charm approach. If he's healthy, he's still in a league of his own and should be first overall. On the other hand, there's the fool me twice, shame on me approach. Since I've done this song and dance before, what would you guys do regarding Christian McCaffrey?
Draft him and reap the benefits and cry if he gets hurt again.
I think every fantasy manager should make a list of the players that they feel are safer picks in round one than Christian McCaffrey. And you might sit down with a pad and a pencil and not even write a single name down, and that's okay. That just might be how you feel about it. But make that list and say, okay, I definitely know that Jonathan Taylor safer than Christian McCaffrey. Some people might say Austin Eckler safer than Christian McCaffrey. I'd rather take the chance on him. But if you make the list and you go into your draft with that list, you'll know exactly where you'll feel comfortable drafting McCaffrey. I've got four names ahead of McCaffrey on my list. I am not comfortable taking McCaffrey first overall, second overall, third overall, and probably not even fourth overall. So I'm probably not going to get a lot of McCaffrey this year.
I still struggle Taylor versus McCaffrey, because if he hits, he's the best player by far.
Do you have to feel like you're drafting a risky player? Because Taylor's not risky. And Eckler, at least in full PPR, doesn't feel very risky. Just he just catches so many passes. I feel like the worst case scenario for Eckler is he's a back end of round one type of running back.
Instead. Well, injury.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can say that with everybody, right? But not everybody has the injury history of McCaffrey now.
But you go to maybe Najee Harris, and maybe there's some more performance risk. Do you feel like you have to get to performance risky? Obviously, Jamie doesn't. But
there's no performance risk with McCaffrey.
Right, exactly. Do you feel like you have to get to the performance risky guys? Ooh, heard an there from Dave. Mm-hmm. We'll explore that. Before you,
what's the performance risk with McCaffrey?
Okay.
Yeah. Last year, in the five games he started and finished, there were only five, he averaged 22.6 PPR points per game. Great number, but it's not what you'd used to expect from McCaffrey.
Sure,
you
but expected in four of those, he was PPR north of 24 points. So he had one bad game.
But there were none bad game. North it was of 26.
It was his like, first game. One. It was his first game back from injury. He got kind of limited work against the Patriots, I think. The other games, he was not. He was in his own little Christian
McCaffrey
world.
I mean, if that's what you're pointing to as performance, I'll take that over
everybody
else.
No, but he's right. 22 points per game is about
that's
7
really
points
it's
worse
round
than
one good. Is
what
it
he's used
first
to
or second overall good?
Yes. For what he gives you, yes.
Well, if he gives you more than that, of course.
Well,
it's going to come down to just how healthy he is, how much the Panthers try and shave off unnecessary touches and playing time from him. He's obviously going to be used in all of the high value situations. I think that includes goal line work. I think it would be weird if they went to Deontay Foreman every time.
No way.
For short yardage work.
No way.
There'll be times where they do, but it's not going to be every single time. You know he's going to be in on passing downs in the two-minute drill, and they're playing from behind. I don't think Baker Mayfield is a strike against him at all. I think it's probably good for him if Baker Mayfield wins the starting job there. It's just a matter of how healthy he can be. He's had five separate injuries over the last 2 years, four of them to his legs, and they're all soft tissue. Well, the shoulder injury might not have been, but the
the ankle's not soft tissue.
Yeah, it is. Your ankle's soft tissue. It's not a broken ankle. It's a high ankle sprain. It's the ligaments.
Okay. So, you know, I talk about, I guess I really haven't brought this up in a while, but Dalvin Cook comes to mind. Dalvin Cook in his rookie year, he played 4 games. In his second year, he played 11 games. In his third year, he was a second round pick. He was the third pick of round two. And he finished as I'm trying to look it up now. I mean, he was at least top three per game.
Mm-hmm.
He finished as RB6 because he missed 2 games, but per game he was RB2. He averaged 21.2 points per game. He just had a massive season. So he looked like a very injury-prone player, and he's been fairly injury-prone. He's missed usually 2 to 3 games a year, but he's mostly been on the field after really struggling in his first 2 seasons. So you can do with that whatever you will. All right, second question about McCaffrey comes from Jeff in South Jersey. Hey, AJ, Nick, Sam, and Kevin. Huh. It's got an Eagles feel, but also
Eagles quarterback.
But it also has a Backstreet Boys.
Definitely former
feel.
Eagles quarterbacks.
Okay. I mean, I feel like 3 of those guys are in the Backstreet Boys: AJ, Nick, and Kevin. Right, Dave?
I don't know who's in. The
yeah, it is. They were just missing a Brian. I'm all in. What'd you say?
How do you know that off the top of your head?
I'm a '90s kid, bro. Come on. And no, I didn't like the Backstreet Boys. But my first girlfriend, our song was As Long As You Love Me by the Backstreet Boys. I'm all in on Christian McCaffrey and DJ Moore for this season. But even with Baker in town, I know the quarterback situation still isn't the best. Are you comfortable taking McCaffrey and DJ Moore with 2 of your first 3 picks in a PPR league?
I did that in one draft and I hated it. It's like that team's going to hopefully make a leap. You know, the roster's very underrated, you know, when you look at everything but the quarterback, and hopefully Baker is certainly better than what he showed in the first part of camp and obviously what he showed last year. And the fact that, you know, again, you know, we made, I think, light of this a little bit earlier in this week about training camp battles, but it's certainly shaping up as a battle right now for these two guys. But, you know, you're asking Baker Mayfield or, God forbid, Sam Darnold to support 2 talents, and I don't know if that offense can do that.
Okay. Basically, if you do that, you just say, I don't care who you are, where you're from, I don't care what you did. Oh, you got that. All right.
As long as you score points.
Okay. Mark from Lehigh Valley. My main league I compete.
Iron pig territory.
Okay. My main league I compete in isn't head-to-head. It's based on total points accumulated throughout the season. You set a weekly lineup, and at the end of the season, whoever had the most points wins. Does this format change your draft strategy at all? And what are your thoughts on this format versus head-to-head?
My thoughts are that it's kind of boring. I don't think it changes anything as far as how you
have you ever played a roto league, Dave?
In
baseball?
Yes. Yes.
You don't like it?
No. I like having the scoreboard. I like seeing who I'm playing against, even if there's a secondary matchup each week where you're playing against everybody in the top six teams get a win or something like that. I like having the competitive, you got to beat this guy on the scoreboard.
Of course. Yeah.
So it's kind of boring, the format, but if I were in a league like that, it's not changing my strategy. I'm still going to draft and use the best players each week. My lineup's going to be with who I think are the best players.
I think in this case, you might lean a little, back to McCaffrey, like you lean a little bit more towards safety, in terms of health, just because, you're not changing a lot of things.
Well, but I think the counter to that, and I think Heath would make this point, because this is how Heath used to approach roto leagues in fantasy baseball, is you don't care about making the playoffs. You need to score the most points. Yeah. So you just take more home run swings.
I was going to say, for me, it would be a little bit more later. That's what I was kind of going at. That,
okay.
You might take a little bit safer approach early, but, you take more swings at defense later.
Yeah. That's a good point, too. The biggest issue I have with these types of leagues is that people quit on them very early once they realize they have no chance of winning. Whereas if all you got to do is get into the playoffs, you have so much more incentive to stay involved. Mm-hmm. So that actually is a big deal in terms of strategy, because you got to figure, as long as this isn't a best ball league, you're going to have a lot less competition on the waiver wire. You're going to be able to pick up better players throughout the year. You're going to be competing against fewer teams, in my opinion. That's what I've noticed in those baseball leagues, in those roto leagues. This is Omar.
That's a guillotine league without the guillotine, what we kind just of described.
Yeah, and actually... Yeah,
add the guillotine, and then it's a more fun...
If it's a fab league...
And then you've got everybody playing all year.
If it's a fab league, then you should be more aggressive early, because you'll be competing against fewer opponents late.
Agreed, yes.
Okay, this is Omar, a.k.a. Brooklyn Omar. All right, Brooklyn Omar. He wants us to rank the backup running backs. If all the number one running backs on each NFL team gets hurt, rank their backups based on potential. So you guys don't have to do all 32, but who are the best of the best? If all the starting running backs got hurt, who are the best of the best?
I think Madison is one.
He'd be up there. A.J. Dillon would be up there. I got Dillon ranked like he's the number one.
Pollard is obviously up there.
Pollard is up there. Kareem Hunt is up there.
Is it a big three of Madison, Pollard, Dillon?
I'd throw Kareem Hunt in there too and call it a big four. There's probably some more that are close to that level.
Benny Snell?
Nah.
I'm kidding.
I don't know if he's good enough. Kenneth Walker could be on that list. Not the top four, but the next tier. Melvin Gordon could be on the next tier.
Stevenson, Gainwell.
Ramondre should be on that next tier. Yep.
I don't get it with Gainwell. I do want to have the same conversations over and over again, so we have new listeners. You guys really like Gainwell, but he was the fourth string guy last year. I just don't know how he would elevate himself.
They love him.
Bigger role.
They love him.
In what role, though?
They're going to move up the depth chart.
In what role? Do they love him as a pass catcher? Because that's what he was. He was the best pass catcher back in two years ago.
He's not going to be the every down guy if something happens to Sanders. They're going to use Boston Scott. But I do think that, for most of the leagues that we talk about, PPR, half PPR, he's the higher upside play than Boston Scott. And so, I would lean toward him. I mean, lesser tier guys in this conversation, Tyrion Davis Price, or Jeff Wilson, whoever ends up being two there. Brian Robinson.
Spiller.
Daryl Henderson.
Spiller.
Daryl Henderson.
Henderson should be up
White,
there.
Spiller.
Khalil Herbert.
Somebody said
good one.
Somebody's in the chat says James Robinson. That's kind of a gray area.
No, but he's the second running back off the board for his team in fantasy.
Yeah.
I think he'd have to be in that first tier.
What about
expand it to five?
What about Ronald Jones? Or CEH, what happens if one of those two gets hurt?
If one of those two gets hurt?
It depends on which one, because I don't think
McKinnon was the guy in the playoffs, right?
Right.
Yeah, Right. I think they know better than to use Ronald Jones in passing downs, even when everybody's healthy.
Right.
So if Jones gets hurt, CEH probably takes back over as the main first and second down running back.
Well, assuming that he's not in that role already.
Right. It's possible.
Melvin Gordon or Mike Boone, whoever ends up being two there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just want to make sure we're not forgetting.
Hassan Haskins.
Is there anyone? Oh, Mark Ingram?
Ingram.
Okay.
We haven't ranked these guys. We're just naming them all.
Yeah, but Madison, Pollard, Dillon, Hunt appear to be our four favorites. I think Darrell Henderson might belong in that group.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Nah, no, I wouldn't say not. No, not that group.
He's in the second tier. Yeah, he's in the second tier.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. This is from Travis. How does your fab strategy change in different formats, such as Dynasty versus Redraft? Fab strategy in different formats.
I mean, clearly in Dynasty leagues, there's not as much talent available on the waiver wire, depending on how deep your rosters are. So, you know, if somebody becomes available that you think has high upside, you should definitely pounce on it and probably spend a little bit more. You know, so like last year, for example, when we opened waivers in our Dynasty league, which is a $1,000 budget in a 14-team IDP league, which has very deep rosters, I spent a good portion of my fab, unfortunately so, on Marcus Callaway and Tyson Williams, because the talent pool was not there. My roster, for the most part, was set, and I didn't anticipate a lot of guys becoming available throughout the course of the year, which, for the most part, played itself out that way.
Oh.
Most part. yes, it was stinky. But obviously, Callaway and Tyson did not turn into the guys I was hoping they would become. So, you know, I wasted money in that regard, but I didn't miss out on anything significant throughout the course of the season. So it just depends on, you know, how deep your league are. Obviously, redraft, it's totally different, you know. So, you know, there are going to be guys that come up throughout the course of the season. So you want to sort of balance your budget a little bit more, unless there's a clear, obvious type of guy. You know, I don't know if Elijah Mitchell was that obvious type of guy, but he certainly seemed to be like that following week one. So those guys tend to be a little bit rare. You obviously don't want to chase those receivers, as we're going to joke a lot about after they have those week one performances. You know, when James Washington and not Jalen Tolbert has a, you know, right, 4 for 80 in a touchdown game, and you're like, oh my God, no Michael Gallup, and this is the guy, and then he disappears for a month. You know, those type of receivers.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like my strategy with fab is I'll spend a little bit each week, but I've got enough in the reserve to make one big bid when I really, really need somebody off the waiver wire.
Okay. I'm going to speed you guys up a little bit here just so we can get to the rest of our questions, but I do have to go back to the handcuff question because a lot of people in the chat are asking about Deontay Foreman, who backs up Christian McCaffrey. Where do you guys see him in that picture?
If we're tiering these guys, probably third tier.
Yep.
Okay. All right. This is from Tom from The Bucket.
The Bucket.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, Corbin, Schmitty, McPoyle, and Adermis. I had to look this one up. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. All right, I'm in win now dynasty mode. Should I trade Deontay Johnson and pick 109 in the rookie draft for AJ Brown?
For 2023?
Yeah, no, for 2022.
Oh, so you're talking about maybe Sky Moore, Chris Olave, maybe Ken Walker if he slips, and Deontay Johnson for AJ Brown? I don't mind that.
I missed the question. I was looking up which town is known as the Bucket.
It's okay. Jamie answered.
And I got Pawtucket.
You can get the next one, Dave. This is from Alex. Dear Randy, Chris, Adam, and Jefferson. That should say Justin.
Vikings receivers.
Yeah, but it should say Justin. It's kind of a miss there. One of my drafts this Saturday is a little different. My friends don't like tight ends, so we do a standard team with two flexes instead of one flex and one tight end.
Mm.
So no tight end required.
Yeah, we get this question all the time. Ugh,
so lame. It's half PPR, two receivers. How would you value tight ends since they aren't? I'm sorry. I hate this. It is such a cop-out. But we'll answer your question anyway. How would you guys value tight ends since they aren't required? They tend to go later in the drafts. What do you, you know, Dave, tight end advice for a league that doesn't require you to start one?
They are massively devalued. The exception probably being Kelce, although in a regular draft where you do have to start a tight end, Kelce will be drafted right among the first three wide receivers. If tight ends don't matter, he's going to be probably closer to like 10, 12, 14 among those wide receivers. Andrews will fall a little bit further as well. I think you probably should count on at least a one round discount for Kelsey, round and a half for Andrews, round and a half for Pitts, 2 to 3 rounds for everybody else. And then, like, once you get to the Zach Ertz's and Pat Freiermuth's of the tight end position, you don't even bother drafting them.
All right, let's do our Apple podcasts now. This one is from a name I don't know how to pronounce, Selayu. I'm wondering...
You just pronounced it.
Okay,
good
great
job.
Can you walk me through why we have PPR? Why are we awarding the reception and not the yards? In basketball, Steph Curry doesn't get a point for every pass he catches. Same with soccer and hockey. Again, why is football the only team sport to award receptions?
Because it helped flatten out the difference between pass catchers and non-pass catchers. And it lowered it shrunk the gap between quarterbacks and every other position. That's why it was done. It was done as a way to make it a little bit more of an even playing field for wide receivers and tight ends, while also generating more points for running backs who caught the ball in the backfield, which there was a time where there weren't that many that did it.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of people against more points.
Yeah.
I think they're against
fun.
They're against the concept of, oh, this guy just caught a 1 yard pass and he got a point for it.
Right. You get a bubble screen pass.
Yeah.
I like what the fishbowl does, where it's a half point per catch and half point for a first down. And if you're not down with that, then do a point per first down. I think everybody would agree that a first down is important in football.
Yeah.
Do a point per first down.
Yeah, but then do you do that with quarterbacks as well? Rushing first downs?
Scott, just do it for passing first downs. You could do it with rushing first downs.
Yeah, it's a big. They don't. Scott Fishbowl has half a point for a rushing first down, but not a passing first down. So that's a big difference there.
Oh, no.
Receiving
first down. It counts if you catch a first
receiving
down.
First down. Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's not a bad. That's. I think people get on board with that.
Yep.
All right. From Trenton Andrews 7. I've heard many discussions about Burrow and how he is currently being drafted too high. What I haven't heard is anyone giving a counter argument to Burrow being overrated at his current ADP. So maybe he's saying that we... Oh, no. I'm sorry. So he actually... This was a very long one, and he gave a counter argument as to why Burrow is actually not being overdrafted. He's healthy at this point last year. He wasn't healthy last year. There were a bunch of things I didn't
include.
Technically
not healthy.
Right. But
he had the appendectomy.
You can give a pass for the appendectomy.
Right. So he's making a case. Trenton Andrews is making a case for Joe Burrow at his ADP, which I think the latest I saw was QB6. We're not there, but what do you got, Jamie? What do you think about people who are taking Burrow there? You know, what are they seeing that we disagree with? I guess.
I mean, you're seeing the best receiving core in football with Chase Higgins and Boyd, Hayden Hurst making plays. You're seeing an offensive line that got significantly improved. You're seeing a guy that led his team to the Super Bowl behind a bad offensive line. And so, look, rightfully so, you want to gravitate toward young players on the rise. And he's, you know, as good as any of them at that position. And he has the opportunity to be a top five quarterback. He just, you know, if you expect him to make the leap, he's got to make the leap clearly more so as a passer than he does as a rusher. I know he'll run a little bit more than he did last year because he's a year removed from the ACL, but he's not going to be Hurts or Lamar or Trey Lance. He's not necessarily in the range yet, at least we don't think, of Brady as a passer, you know, with the 5,000-yard potential and, you know, 45 touchdowns. But he can certainly get there. So if you have that conviction on Joe Burrow, I'm not going to fight you on it. But I'm like that his ADP is sliding from where it was, you know, when he was fourth.
Right.
You know, six is a perfect range for him.
All right, next one from Apple Podcast is, I don't have a name here, but hey, Dan, Wayne, Ben, and Daniel. Don't know. 10-team redraft league. One keeper, 6 point per passing touchdown. Okay, it's half point PPR, and it's 0.25 points per carry. Do I take Josh Allen in the 7th or Travis Etienne in the 13th?
Etienne.
10 teams, 6 point touchdowns. I think I'm going to take Josh Allen.
And why the giant poop fest with Juju Smith-Schuster? He thinks we're too low on Juju.
I don't think it's going to be the case anymore. It's just, you know, look, it's they're going to spread the ball around. You're seeing the highlight plays, but the fact that he's, you know, the two things that stood out so far is how much in motion he is and how much he's lining up in different spots. And that's certainly what we want to see. He's being used differently than he was in Pittsburgh already. And anybody who's watched them practice so far has been wowed by Juju.
And by the way, that was from Chris. Sorry, I didn't see your name there, Chris. This is from Toyota. Dear Flounder, Boone, Otter, and Bluto.
That's from one of the most romantic movies ever made.
Pinocchio?
Attaboy House. Okay. I find myself looking more toward the late round tight end group than the top players in mock drafts. Who are the ones that would be best to target in a full PPR startup keeper league? I'm thinking of taking at least two late tight ends, maybe three. There you go. So it's a startup keeper league. Who in the late round tight end group would you guys target?
Daniel Bellinger would be one.
Is that, I mean, I was going to say Cole Kmet, so we're at different stages in the draft.
Yeah, he won't be a late rounder.
I don't know what late means. He might be a late rounder.
I guess if you want to tier it, Kmet, if you can get him, you know, maybe the next type of guy would be like an Irv Smith or an Albert O to see what happens with them and their respective offenses. Bellinger for me would be, you know, one of the rookies, Trey McBride.
If you're going to take a rookie, take Dulcich.
Okay.
In Denver. He's my favorite. He's my favorite. And Jelani Woods is like Andre the Giant at tight end in Indianapolis.
This is from Ryan Fisher. Some guy I know has started a 32-team league, one running back, one wide receiver, three flexes, and a super flex.
Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no.
Well, he
no.
didn't say one quarterback, so maybe you don't have to start a quarterback. He said one super flex.
That's interesting.
Yeah, one running back, one wide receiver, three flexes, and one super flex. So you could start a quarterback. Five.
Do you have
bench
the scoring
players.
Of what 4 points for passing touchdown versus other players? What the quarterbacks look like in front of you?
I can get it, certainly. As I did it a few years ago, and even in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues, I think yep. QB19 was still one of the highest scoring players.
Yeah, right. You have to completely crap on passing touchdowns.
All right, what's yeah, your strategy for Ryan here? 32 team league.
Everything else is the same scoring? Like there's no weighted for other positions, right?
I don't see that.
I think you take best player available. Probably lean toward pass catchers if it's PPR.
Okay. I'll read the next question, then I'll come back with the answer to your 4 point.
I wonder if you don't have a starter quarterback, let's say it's 3 points for passing touchdowns minus one for interceptions, or 4 points and minus two. You know, so you're, and it's not, you know, it's 15 points for every passing yard. It's 1 point for every 15 passing yards or something like that. You know, so quarterbacks really devalue.
All right. Let's say Justin Jefferson.
If you could play a quarterback, you're going to draft quarterback. You know, the first round should be all quarterbacks.
Justin Jefferson.
Assuming
scored,
that the scoring is high, yes.
Justin Jefferson would have been QB six last year. Let's see. Mac Jones scored 221 points. He was QB 18. 221 points in a PPR league would have been wide receiver 23, Darnell Mooney.
Right, so they're not as valuable.
Right.
They are not as valuable in 4 point. Yeah.
So then if it's 4 points.
But it's still, Mac Jones was QB 18, you said?
Yeah. So he's still a.
What was QB like 8 or 10?
Joe Burrow was QB 8. He scored 312 points. And that would be wide receiver in full PPR. Oh, that would be wide receiver 5. He outscored Jamar Chase.
Mm-hmm.
So the top tier quarterback should go earlier. And then it becomes almost like a regular Superflex league.
Yeah. Okay, almost done with our Apple Podcast questions. We'll go to our next one here. From Sosa80. I was offered a first-round pick in 2023 and Mike Evans for pick 101. So that would be Breece Hall, basically. It's a 10-team right. PPR, half PPR league. Would you take Mike Evans and a 2023 first rounder for Breece Hall?
I think
I
would.
Are you a win now team?
Don't know.
If you're a win now team, then I would rather have Mike Evans in the first rounder. If you're rebuilding, I'd rather have Breece Hall.
This is from Bango Lancer. Great fantasy analysis hosted by the best male podcast hosts on earth. I am drafting for a startup keeper league where we can keep up to 3 players each year with the cost going up 1 round the following season, and we can keep them for 3 seasons if Dave was wondering. Is there any different strategy to bring to a keeper draft as compared to the normal redraft or dynasty leagues? 3 keepers.
No, you're the players that you're going to target for, that you're going to draft with the intention of keeping for a long time, they're going to go sooner in your draft.
My question.
You know, groundbreaking advice here. It's players that are like Breece Hall is going to go much sooner than normal because you can keep him for 3 years, or even Ken Walker, or any rookie, Olave, Dotson, Jameson Williams.
Here's my question, Dave. I've never played in a format like this. I think you guys are in leagues like this. Three keepers go up around each year and keep for 3 years. Right. Do you find that your team will end up with enough values where you don't have to do that? Because you can only keep three guys, right? So you don't have to reach for rookies because you're going to stumble upon a waiver wire guy or some. You're going to have three obvious keepers that you don't have to push up those rookies. Let the other teams do
that. I think the thing that happens is, first off, you know, you like Alvin Kamara, think about where he was. Players that like Elijah Mitchell this year, you know, the guys that you have that depending on how you value free agents, which are usually like last round guys. And so as they continue to progress, you know, like how Kamara did, for example, the first round becomes less, second round becomes, you know, the talent pool at the top becomes less. So as the years go on, I don't know if rookies necessarily get pushed up dramatically. You know, in the leagues I play in, they don't get, you know, the value doesn't significantly change aside from just the keepers not being there if there are a lot of high-end keepers. I think the thing that you look at, though, is you look at guys like, you know, Dave mentioned a few of the rookie receivers, you know, the ones that you can hopefully foresee becoming great in a year. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think you look for, just as a strategy thing, is because people tend to forget these guys, is the injury guys. You know, the guys that are going to be, you know, out for significant portions of time that get hurt in camp. Like, one of my leagues where it's not the same format, but we keep guys in round eight or later, drafted in round eight or later. Cam Akers wasn't drafted last year because people forgot about him. So I was purposely hoping he wasn't getting drafted because I knew that I'd just get him the first time waivers ran because I was first on waivers. And now he's my keeper this year in past round eight. Calvin Ridley, keep him in mind. You know, he's probably going to be free. Take him late. You know, these type of guys are the ones that when they come back, you know, hopefully they come back at a significant level. You know, Michael Thomas a year ago, you know, for people that they may have forgot about him. They're not a ton of those guys, but these are the ones that, you know, Dave and I do this in our baseball league and it's been so successful for us, you know, taking, you know, like this year, it hasn't panned out so much, but like we were just kind of waiting out how far is Lance Lynn going to fall because people just forgot about him. This is an AL only baseball league, you know, and just, we got him in round 15, you know, just because we did with Eloy Jimenez,
2 years ago. Yeah.
2 years ago. You know, it's just, those are the type of things that could be difference makers for you.
As for players that aren't going to be forgotten about, the rookies especially, you're probably going to like one or two rookies ahead of the rest of the pack. Don't be afraid to reach up for them if you want to have them and have control of them for your fantasy team for the next three seasons.
How about this? Just looking at baseball standings. The Red Sox and the White Sox are both 500 right now. Red Sox are 50-50. White Sox are 49-49. The Red Sox are in last place, 17 games out of first. The White Sox are 3 games out of first. Oh, it's nice
gotta
to
love
be
the AL Central, baby.
Yes. All right, let's read some
questions. They have been a tough watch this year, especially their last game. Mm. I'm basically watching every White Sox game. That'll probably change once training camp really.
I had a fun conversation with a buddy of mine last night who he's got a 8-year-old and he's already got him hooked on a daily fantasy for baseball.
Wow.
And so he was they do it together, but so like we were after baseball practice, he was like, oh, can I set a lineup real quick for the night slate? And he was telling me that he told his son, just tying in the White Sox, it was the White Sox in Colorado. White Sox and Rockies in Colorado. He was like, don't take any of the pitchers. You just got to load up on hitters. So he loaded up on all the hitters, and it was the Kopech game when they won 2-1. I forget who won 2-1, but he was just
Sox won that game.
And he said the kid came up to him and was like, his son came up to him and was like, you told me no pitchers.
Yeah. Got to go the old contrarian route, get those pitchers in Coors Field. All right, here's one from Gray. Gray matters to me. I have to decide on Higgins or Godwin by the end of the weekend. Higgins in the sixth or Godwin in the fifth?
Higgins.
10-team Dynasty League from Edward. One QB. Should I trade Breece Hall? He's rebuilding. Total rebuild. Should I trade Breece Hall for James Cook, a 2023 first and a 2023 second?
No, I don't think that's enough.
The only thing would be is, so Cook was probably a late first pick, so the team was probably good.
Oh, I don't know if I wouldn't say that for sure. It could have been a second round pick.
Okay, that's even worse. Well, no, I guess it's not worse. Oh, you're right. Right. It's not,
could have been a bad team. I wouldn't. You can't do it. Breece Hall is, you're rebuilding. You rebuild around Breece Hall.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Oh, Jamie Akers is also one of my keepers for a 13th round pick.
There you go.
Is 1.10 too early to take Kyle Pitts in a super flex tight end? Was that tight end premium?
Tight end premium.
Startup.
If he's there.
Yeah.
If it's a super flex, I totally expect him to be there.
That's a good point.
If it's super flex, that means that quarterbacks are going to go off the board. It might be too early for me.
Okay. What's the latest you guys would take a running back?
Round six?
Yeah. I was going to say like round four or five. If I hit right on receivers late round one, early round two, and there's still good values in round three and round four, I'll save round five.
Okay, so what if you started, you know, with four or five receivers, then you got A.J. Dillon and Kareem Hunt?
Love it.
Like a tight end in there and the receivers, and then A.J. Dillon and Kareem Hunt, right? You could start with that. That's not bad.
You could.
I'd rather watch grass grow than, I think this is in reference to baseball.
Ah.
You basically are watching that with baseball. It's probably growing a little bit.
They mow it after every game, the field.
Waddle for a 7th or Mike Williams for a 13th?
Mike Williams.
Yeah, I like Waddle, but Williams for a 13th is...
I like Williams better in redraft already.
And finally from Gabriel, 2 QB, 3 flex, full PPR. I just traded Kelsey and Chenault for Kittle and Christian Kirk. I have Lawrence and Lance as my quarterbacks. So he gave up Kelsey and LaVisca for George Kittle and Christian Kirk.
So you gave up Kelsey for Kittle and Kirk.
Yeah.
I don't mind it.
I mean, you'll get more points out of Kittle and Kirk, theoretically.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for watching and listening. Really appreciate you sticking around. And yeah, good stuff. Dave and Jamie, have a wonderful weekend. And
you too, dude.
I guess the listeners and the viewers, you guys can have a great weekend too. That'd be great. So we'll see you on Monday. Please remember to vote on podcastawards.com. You only have a couple
schedule changes. Don't forget it.
Yeah, we're going to be at 9:30 in the morning instead of 10 in the morning beginning next week. And then eventually it'll get earlier as we get into the season. But for the immediate future, 9:30 in the morning. So we'll talk to you then. See ya.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.